Thursday of the 33rd week of Ordinary Time. The Book of Revelations, Chapter 5. I, John, saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. It had writing on both sides, and was sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a mighty angel who proclaimed in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to examine it. I shed many tears because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to examine it. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, enabling him to open the scroll with its 7 seals." Then I saw standing in the midst of the throne and the 4 living creatures and the elders, a lamb that seemed to have been slain. He had 7 horns and 7 eyes. These are the 7 spirits of God sent out into the whole world. He came and received the scroll from the right hand of the one who sat on the throne. When he took it, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each of the elders held a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the holy ones. They sang a new hymn: "Worthy are you to receive the scroll and break open its seals, for you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue, people and nation. You made them a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." The word of the Lord. My dear family, John is in ecstasy, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he sees this scroll on the right hand of God himself. Now, this scroll is written on both sides, which is not usual for an ancient scroll, and it means that it is full of wisdom, of revelation. It contains actually the plan of God for the future, the destiny of humanity. But no one can open it. It's sealed with 7 seals. Seals are, in ancient times, like passwords would be today. It made certain that only the destinatory of the scroll would be able to read it. So, this is a problem. Nobody is worthy. Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? No one. Not in heaven, not on earth, not under the earth. That means not even the angels nor the saints can be worthy to open the seals and reveal what is inside, the plan for humanity. Only one, and that is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Why? Because he has laid down his life on the cross. Book of Revelation says he has triumphed. And this is the paradox. Until now, the victors were the ones who beat up everybody else, slayed everybody else. But now, the one who was slain, because he is victim, he becomes the victor. And that enables him to open the scroll with its seven seals. Only Christ can open up the plan of God for salvation, not only by reading the scroll, that is symbolic, it is by revealing the love of God through the cross, by shedding his blood on the cross, that the plan of salvation breaks open. Now, the Lamb is the Lion. The Lion is the Lamb. He's powerful. He's victorious. And yet, he's a Lamb that was slain. Now, he has seven horns. It means the fullness of power. And seven eyes, which means he sees everything. He has the fullness of knowledge. There are seven spirits of God sent into the whole world. Well, that is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Remember the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit? There's only one Spirit, but this seven gifts. In the temple, there was a lamp called the menorah. Being only one lamp and drawing oil from one source, it was seven chandeliers or seven lamps. So he was able to take the scroll, and at that moment, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, which represent the people of God, they fall down before the Lamb in worship, in adoration. And each of the elders has a harp. You see, in the Old Testament, the Psalms were for praising God, and it's a harp was used in the praise. And the bowls are filled with incense. And what is that incense? The prayer of the Holy Ones. We partake of this worship, of this celebration. And we also then are inserted into the plan of God. We are there. We are one with Christ. And then as we worship here on earth, through the liturgy, through our constant, every day, giving thanks and glorifying God, we become part of this revelation. We come to partake of the knowledge of God that was revealed. And you see, there's a new hymn, like in the Psalms, it speaks about a new song. Well, a new hymn is a new praise that was before unknown. It has now new wisdom, new knowledge. We can now say, praised be the Lamb that was slain, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now we can say, you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. This is the new hymn. It's a new knowledge, a new awareness. You made them what? A kingdom and priests of our God. We join with Christ in interceding for the multitudes. And there's a promise. They will reign on earth. We will partake of the kingdom of God. We are with him royalty. This is an amazing revelation. Now, you know, in heaven, everybody is singing this new hymn. If we do not learn this new hymn, in other words, if we do not praise God here on earth, if we are not immersed in these truths, then we're going to spend a long time, if we make it to purgatory, in purgatory. Because in heaven, everyone is deeply aware of this truth and constantly praising God. So let us open our hearts and our minds to a deep life of praise, of glorifying God, of thanksgiving. Now let us go to the gospel. It's Luke 19, 41 and following. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." The Gospel of the Lord. My dear family, Jesus is crying. He finally has arrived to Jerusalem. He's looking upon the city, and he desires to spare them of the calamity of destruction. He desires it so much that in a few days, he's going to willingly lay down his life at the cross so that everyone may be rescued and be saved. But what happens? We, the people, did not recognize the time of his visitation. We were not open to him. In fact, we have rejected him. Now, it's inevitable that destruction will happen. It's inevitable not because God doesn't want to spare us, but because if we reject Jesus, we are rejecting salvation. It's like saying if we reject the light, the consequence is we will be in darkness. And my friends, this is not just for that generation. Jesus is looking upon Miami, Atlanta, New York, Los Angeles, every town, every place, wanting to save us. Let's hurry up and respond. Life is short. The justice of God is real. It's not that his mercy gets exhausted. It doesn't. But if we become obstinate in rejecting his mercy, then we will enter into the order of justice. May the Lord bless us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.